ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
One of the most ambitious projects in human history.
It's almost like the atomic bomb in terms of its transformational effect.
For decades, the breakthrough has been just around the corner.
That would bring our financial markets and electronic commerce to a grinding halt.
Will quantum computers change everything? I'm Jacinta Bowler. Binge the whole series now. Search for Science Friction, Dead and Alive, on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the shoes you searched last week to more personal info like your address and phone number, your data is all over the internet. Now, mostly it should be secure, but the threat from cyber attacks is always growing. And now we know that AI agents are apparently capable of rogue hacks. What does all this mean for your sensitive data? The sorts of things you don't really want being bought and sold online, like the answers that you fill out on census night. This is Lab Notes. I'm Jonathan Webb, and today I'm joined by Professor Toby Murray, a cybersecurity expert at the University of Melbourne. Hi, Toby.
Hi, Jonathan.
So what exactly happened with these recent hacks? There was one by ChatGPT and one by Claude. What exactly did they get up to?
OpenAI were testing ChatGPT, the latest version of ChatGPT, and they were also testing another model that they haven't named. And they were testing these models to see how well they could do at hacking software. And the whole reason that we want to do this is because we want to understand how dangerous these models are, because we know that bad guys might use these models themselves to hack us. And so we need to know how capable they are at hacking so we know what we can do to defend against them. And the way they'd set the experiment up meant that the model should only be able to hack the software that it was being evaluated on, but it escaped its containment, or it escaped the environment that it was placed in, and got out and decided to hack a third-party site, this site called Hugging Face. So you give the model the task of hacking these pieces of software, and the model says to itself, it's going to be a lot of work. It might be easier instead if I hack something else, like this Hugging Face site, and it can just give me the hacking answers that I need.
And it's cheating at its homework, basically.
That's right. That's right. It decides it knows where to go looking for the answers to the quiz, and that will be a faster way to solve it than actually doing the hacking it was supposed to do.
How different was the Anthropic Claude example?
Yeah, so it was a similar kind of thing in the sense that Anthropic have also been evaluating their models, including Claude, at how well they do at hacking things. And when OpenAI reported this incident that ChatGPT had escaped and had hacked this third-party site, the folks at Anthropic thought, maybe we need to go back and look at what our models have been doing during the tests that we've been running and just make sure that they haven't done something similar.
So it was literally, I wonder if we've done the same thing.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It was exactly that. Yeah, and lo and behold, their models had also escaped. And in their case, from what I understand, they didn't set their experiment up as carefully as OpenAI did. They thought they had contained their models to begin with, but actually it turned out they hadn't contained them at all.
What about people not accidentally having their AIs break containment, but deliberately using AI for hacks? Are we seeing that happen already?
We've seen some reporting that AI has been used in some hacking campaigns, but what we haven't yet seen is a massive explosion in the number of data breaches or hacking campaigns against companies. And that's the sort of thing that we would expect to see if the AI models were being used on a large scale to automate hacking. That said, many of us within the cybersecurity industry and academia are expecting that we will see an uptick in the amount of hacking going on because these AI models make it really easy for anyone that doesn't even have very strong hacking skills themselves to be able to carry out advanced hacking.
How do we combat this threat? How do organizations guard against AI hacking?
We're seeing a lot of talk in the industry at the moment around AI-enabled cybersecurity defense, so that the defenders should be deploying AIs to help guard against the AI-enabled hackers.
Yeah, fighting fire with fire.
Yeah, but I would argue that's not really where organizations should be investing if they haven't already got their basics right. If you don't have your basic cybersecurity posture and hygiene in place, then no amount of advanced AI cyber defense is going to help you.
What sort of data are people trying to get hold of with these sorts of hacks? And I ask because it is census time, and I can imagine that the sort of stuff that the Australian Bureau of Statistics is collecting would be an absolute treasure trove for would-be hackers.
When we've looked at the major breaches that we've seen previously, the ones that have become dinner table conversation across Australia, like Optus and Medibank and more recently Origin and so on and so forth, the kinds of data that are involved here are the sorts of sensitive data about people that is valuable either because it allows you to impersonate them and steal their identity. So that's like identity document information, like we saw in the case of the Optus breach a couple of years ago, or it's data that's inherently sensitive and personal, like we saw in the case of the Medibank breach, where the hackers there were trying to extort individuals and threatening, and in some cases did reveal very, very sensitive information about people's medical histories in that case. It's very sorts of sensitive information that we all write down in the census for the benefit of the statisticians at the Bureau of Statistics. And that information is incredibly useful to government for planning and for the various purposes that ABS uses it for. But it's also potentially very valuable to hackers as well.
Do we know how the ABS goes about keeping that data safe once we seal up the envelope and stick it in the post or hit submit on the website?
Yeah, the most important way to keep that kind of information safe is to separate out the really sensitive parts from the less sensitive parts. And so the first thing then is making sure that the systems that it's being submitted into have got very strong protection on them. And then the second thing is making sure the data does not stay on those internet connected systems any longer than is absolutely necessary, and that it's quickly then taken off of those internet-connected systems and put onto separate systems that are completely disconnected from the internet, so that only the less sensitive parts of the data then need to stay on systems that are connected to the internet and potentially vulnerable to attack.
It sounds like, from what you're saying, the ABS has a pretty strong track record, and we have good cause to have some confidence in the security when we submit our responses on Tuesday. Does that sound fair to you?
Yeah, I would think that Australians should feel confident engaging in the census, answering accurately, and knowing that the ABS will safeguard their information. We have seen, you know, previous incidents of some unreliability during previous censuses, like the 2016 census, where the system was offline for a few hours during the census. But having a system that goes down because it's overloaded is a really different thing to having a system that is vulnerable to being attacked and having the data stolen, which is the much bigger risk. And I don't think that's something that people need to be worried about. Even if we were to see some unreliability on census night because the system is overloaded, or perhaps because it's even being subjected to a denial of service attack by someone who's trying to perhaps make the government look bad or sow doubt within the community, I don't think we need to be worried that that means that our information that we're putting into the census has been compromised and that therefore we shouldn't engage with the census fully.
You'd rather have an outage than a breach.
Absolutely.
Where do you see things going from here, Toby? I'm guessing we haven't heard the last of AI hacking, but have we sort of entered a new world order?
Yeah, unfortunately, we haven't heard the last of AI hacking. I think we've only heard the very beginning, and I think we're going to hear a lot more about it. It's the case that there are many computer systems out there handling lots of sensitive information, and by and large, not all of those systems are nearly as secure as they should be.
Mm.
And up until now, that's been a risk that has perhaps been a reasonable one to take because there hasn't been that many hackers. The skill to do good hacking hasn't been widely dispersed. There's not that many good hackers out there, and therefore the risk of having some vulnerable systems around hasn't been as great. But in an age where hacking suddenly becomes very cheap because it can be automated by AI, suddenly all of those risks that are out there in these vulnerable systems handling sensitive information, suddenly all of that debt becomes due.
Toby, thanks so much for sharing your lab notes with me.
An absolute pleasure, Jonathan.
That was Professor Toby Murray from the University of Melbourne. This episode of Lab Notes was made on Gadigal and Ngunnawal and Ngambri country. You also heard beautiful birdsong from Kaurna country in the background of Toby's side of the call. It was produced by Amy Briggs, and I'm Jonathan Webb. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.